Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Adi Bolaños in San Francisco. It was a rare sight in the L.A. County city of Montebello yesterday after a tornado ripped through the city, damaging 11 buildings. Officials say the tornado struck late yesterday morning in a fairly industrial part of the city. Dr. Ariel Cohen is with the National Weather Service.
At any place in particular in California, tornado is very highly unusual. However, if we look over a broader area of Southern California or California in general, we do tend to see a number of tornadoes occur really each year, especially in the winter and early springtime when strong Pacific storm systems move onshore and create favorable conditions.
Gurjot Singh lives in the neighborhood where the tornado touched down. He spoke to Fox 11 News in Los Angeles.
Next thing you know, I hear like a boom. So I look up and I thought there were fighter jets, but there weren't fighter jets. It was my tiles flying up and I was like, oh, this is not normal.
The Montebello Fire Department says at least one person suffered minor injuries. As the latest atmospheric river ravaged the state, some communities are left with more mess to clean up. In the Merced County town of Planada, residents are still recovering from the flooding in January that left the town inundated with water. Most recently, in the rural farmworking community of Pajaro in Monterey County, a breached levee put 3,000 people out of their homes. And now, residents in small towns in Tulare County are working around the clock to prevent major damage from flooding in their area. Sarait Martinez is executive director of the Centro Binacional para el Desarrollo Indígena Oaxaqueño, a community organization that supports farm workers across California. She joins me now to discuss the short and long-term impacts of these extreme weather events on farm workers. Hi, Sarait.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Earlier this week, the Monterey County Board of Supervisors sent a letter to the governor explaining that some of the fields inundated with water would be fallowed for up to 3 years due to contamination from the recent flooding. What does this mean for the community of farm workers that call this area home?
For communities like Pajaro or like Planada, usually in this month in March, people start working to prepare for the high peak of the work season. Farm workers work year-round to save up money to work and live in the winter time. And this winter has been devastating for community, not only because last year the season was short and inconsistent because of the drought that the state faced, but now with the rains, like workers are already maxed out of their savings from last year's worth of work.
And President Biden approved the state of California's emergency declaration request earlier this month, making federal disaster assistance available to supplement state, tribal, and local response efforts. Will farm workers be able to access the support too?
Well, many workers are undocumented. And either they don't qualify, if they qualify, it's for, you know, their children. But even then, like parents don't want to apply because that also puts them at risk or like to give their information. There's no trust in the government. We have many families, even in Pajaro, that didn't want to go to shelters, that decided to go live with family just because of the fear of accessing those type of resources. So people don't have the safety net. Even if the government provides this type of assistance, it usually does not get to undocumented workers or are too afraid to use it.
What can be done to bridge that gap between the government and these workers?
Working with community-based organizations that have the trust in the community is important. It's important to get information in their language because we have a big community of Mixteco speakers. Mixteco workers that need information, not just in Spanish, but in Mixteco or other indigenous languages.
And how can people who want to help these communities?
Yes, so we're really inviting community members to get engaged in their local communities, to not only provide direct support of the donations, but also to call the legislature, to call the representative, to call the governor. We believe that there needs to be an infrastructure that needs to be built, because this keeps happening. If it's not COVID, if it's not the drought, or if it's not fires, it's water, it's the rain, then the most impacted continue to be undocumented workers, undocumented farm workers in the state.
That was Sarait Martinez, Executive Director of the Centro Binacional para el Desarrollo Indígena Oaxaqueño. Thank you so much, Sarait.
Thank you so much for having me.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, bids are due to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, for Silicon Valley Bank's assets and liabilities. But there's no word yet as to whether purchasers will be required to honor SVB's $11 billion community benefit agreement. KQED's Rachel Miro has more from our Silicon Valley desk.
Silicon Valley Bank committed to spend $11 billion on things like affordable housing and small business loans in the Bay Area and Los Angeles as part of a merger 2 years ago. Paulina Gonzalez Brito is CEO of the California Reinvestment Coalition, which negotiated the deal.
It's a real economic driver and a real concern when you lose that.
Ari Bariak heads Merit Community Capital, a nonprofit affordable housing funder that did a lot of business with SVB and still does.
The people who work in affordable housing at Silicon Valley Bank are still there, and they've been communicating to us that they've been told that they should act as business as usual.
At least for now.
I don't know who's going to step up when Silicon Valley Bank walks away.
The coalition has started a petition urging the FDIC not to clear any sale of Silicon Valley Bank that doesn't keep its affordable housing promises. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, March 23rd. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm your host, Madi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Guideline. Their automated 401k plans can be set up in 20 minutes. More at guideline.com/CA. Guideline, the California way to 401k. Hint, fruit-infused water in over 25 flavors like watermelon, pineapple, and blackberry. No sweeteners, no calories. In stores or delivered from drinkhint.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes 11th Hour Racing, working to connect sustainability with sport to help restore ocean health. On the web at 11thHourRacing.org.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.